Coming up on TMS, what dumb thing would you be willing to do online for attention?
Brian is so sick.
Sony has cool ideas about their subscription money.
Don't eat too many PB&J sandwiches.
That's good advice. O.J. Simpson wants you to get out and die in peace. What? No. O.J. Simpson wants to get out and die in peace.
Morrissey has some extreme things to say about meat eaters.
Tom's Tech Time.
Recommendals.
Geek food and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Better taste for nothing. No, nothing beats better taste. And Lucky's taste better.
Yes, Lucky's taste better. Cleaner, fresher, and smoother. You don't even have to open a pack of Lucky's to find one reason why Lucky's taste better. It's right on the smart red and white Lucky Strike pack. See here? LSMFT. Lucky Strike means fine tobacco.
Stay tuned now for Captain Midnight.
The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream. The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. It's just what the doctor ordered.
The Morning Stream.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday. January 8th, 2014. It is The Morning Stream. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined by Brian, not the one you're thinking, not the normal Brian.
What? Thank you for saying Wednesday for me.
You like the one I was going to do all my days like that today.
Right. Thank you for doing that so the Southern people know what day of the week it is.
Yeah. What's the deal with that? We never did resolve that in the past, did we? I know this came up on old ELR episodes and stuff, but right. Why do you guys do that? What's the problem over there?
The Wednesday is just easier. It's a lazy tongue. It's a lazy tongue here in the South, and we like it. Yeah. We like to talk a little slower, and we can't be bothered with lifting our tongue from the bottom of our mouth and sticking it to the roof of my mouth and going, day. No, Wednesday.
Far be it from you people to enunciate the end of your words.
Screw that crap.
It's fine.
If you want to live like that, you can live like that. Not us.
Brian Dunaway is here in lieu of Brian Ibbett, who is sick as a dog and is not doing well. If you listened to yesterday's show, you heard him have to leave the program to hurl.
I listened to that. Poor old Ibbett, man. It's like, excuse me for just one moment while I go puke.
Yeah, he was very professional, though. You have to admit, I would probably rank that pretty high in terms of his like professional radio dude who's not feeling well taking care of business.
Absolutely. Yeah. He did so good.
Impressed me. But Brian has thankfully stepped up to the plate and worked out nicely with timing and all that other stuff. So huge thanks, man, for filling the shoes.
No problem. Always enjoy doing this kind of thing. Besides, we haven't done Film Sack in several weeks.
And feels like it, yeah. We're on this weekend, though, so that's good. Oh, but congratulations. We got the award for Best Film and TV Podcast.
We did, and I felt really bad because I was sitting around Sunday night, and I was like, what do I want to do? I don't know. And all of a sudden, you know, Nicole starts blasting out, Film Sack wins for Best Film Podcast. And I'm like, what? Yeah. I'm like, I'm not even watching the show.
Yeah, I know. I watched the live stream of the awards and kind of thought we had it sewn up on the TMS one, but I had no idea how we were going to do with the Film Sack one. And it was nice to see.
Stoked that this show here got people's choice. I know y'all talked about it all week, but it was super exciting for me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's what you want. That's how we need to be. That's how life is.
Final score.
So, yeah. Right? Final score. We should have won that. I have some things to say about that category, but whatever. It doesn't matter. The point is this. Brian's here. We're queer. Get used to it.
I knew you were going there.
All right, fine. Hey, so it's a normal show. We're going to carry on as if nothing weird has happened. I'm getting some reports in the chat room that there's a ton of static in the audio. I don't know what that is.
You sound good to me.
Like an old record playing? I don't know what that is, guys.
Are they referring to the smart assery that I'm giving to you? I'm giving you a little bit of static. Or are they actually talking about?
I think they mean the show itself. Pop. I can tell you that that's not coming through speakers or headphones, and it's not being recorded on this end. So it must be something with the stream.
And I don't know what that would be.
This is what you do, people. Pick up your router. Yeah. Turn it slightly to the left until you start picking up porn.
Yeah.
And it'll all be good.
Okay. I think I did do some things, but I don't know what to do to change it. We may have to be. Oh, is it better now?
Oh, maybe it's better. I don't know, dude.
It's that new studio, man. It's haunted.
No freaking idea. All right. Well, we'll whatever we change. I just moved some things around, so perhaps I'll need to
test. Really?
I'll test that later. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
Oh, that's. But well, maybe. Yeah, maybe your output to your secondary machine.
It's like the week that TMS just doesn't want to. It's like Brian has to be sick. Static is happening right on the thing. The mobile audio stream doesn't work today. Like everything's going wrong. Brian's sick as a dog. Like how much worse can it get today? Oh wait, it can get a little bit worse. Some guy online posted a video of himself with firecrackers taped to his lips and then set them off.
Yes.
Do you want to hear what this sounded like?
Please do.
This is pretty bad. So here it is. This is audio only, but I think you get the idea. And people are willing to do a lot of crazy crap online to impress their friends and, you know, hopefully get the ladies, right?
Right.
So here's this guy. He's got Scotch tape to his lips.
Yeah, everybody knows that Scotch tape is the superior tape when taping it to your lips.
Of course. Yeah, what are you else going to use? Gaffer's tape? Come on.
What a nerd.
Amateur? Jeez.
Scotch tape.
And there are like four, I want to say there are four or five firecrackers on his lip. He is lucky that only two went off. So I'm going to play that sound now. Here is him kind of mumbling, lighting it on fire, and then hilarity ensues. Here you go. Okay, there's the match. There's a train in the background. Okay, waiting for it. Waiting for it. And my favorite part of that is probably... Oh, did I not bring that over? I did. Is this part of it. When the second one goes off...
You know, if you're going to tape fireworks to your body parts, it should be your nipples. I mean, I don't know why would you do it to your lips.
Well, that's why I'm bringing the question up. So, here.
That's horrible.
Okay, there it is again. So, he later was like this a lot. That. He was whining and complaining and saying, man, that was a bad idea. Now, we've all done things that we regret.
Not like that.
We look back and we go, man, what the hell was I thinking? So, Brian, I pose a question to you, sir.
Do it.
Well, you can do this one of two ways.
Not taping fireworks to my lips for any show.
You can either admit to me something you've done that you think is equally stupid or dumber than that you've done in public or for public consumption or even in front of a crowd or a group of people.
So this is basically the morning stream truth or dare.
Yeah, kind of, a little bit.
All right.
Or you can tell me what thing you would be willing to do. The only problem with that one is you have to do it. There is follow through on that one.
Oh.
So it's a pretty rough choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me see what I've done. All right. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, but nothing really worth... like taping fireworks to my face.
Yeah.
Bad. So I'm trying to think. I've done some really stupid things like underestimating my abilities to Mario squash, a cardboard box.
Wait. Like jumping like high thinking you had to.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's bad.
It's like if you've ever worked in any of the restaurant industry or any type of, you know, manual labor, you've probably been outside with a bunch of your friends smoking, doing whatever, not me smoking, but others smoking, and wanting to impress them, such as going, okay, well, we got to break down these cardboard boxes. Well, we could easily rip them with our hands and put them in the trash, or we could jump on them Mario style and see if we can't squash them.
All right. So
Which was fine on the first few because they were square. They were perfectly square, so you could jump and you basically went through them. I had one that was much more vertical.
Yeah.
With very little Z depth to it.
Yeah.
And
Z depth.
Right. And I jumped on it, and needless to say, it supported my weight.
Did it?
And and so I went backwards.
Oh, that's good.
And hit my head.
That's not good. No, that explains a lot, though. Now that you've explained what happened to your head that time.
Right. Had to go to the hospital.
So I had two cases where you probably could argue that they were dumb mistakes. One was a Cap'n Crunch eating contest.
Cap'n Crunch
eating contest with a buddy of mine when I was
younger. I've never heard of such a thing. Go ahead. I'm interested.
Well, okay. I had a buddy, and we were probably 12, and we decided the way to entertain ourselves on a Saturday afternoon was not to plug in the old Intellivision. Or crank off a game of Vetrex or some other dumb video game solution.
Right.
This is the same friend I used to sit around and draw
in the margins of really thick paperback books, we'd draw little animated short movies, you know. So we were creative guys.
All right.
We were cool and all.
Right.
But there was this moment where we were super bored and we thought, well, what's one way to deal with this? And the way to deal with it was, there's two boxes of Captain Crunch. Who can get to the bottom of a box of Captain Crunch quicker than the other guy?
So what he does is he pours his box down on the floor and your cereal's still going, arr, arr,
yeah.
Arr.
Well, right? He should have, but we both made the mistake of thinking that meant we had to eat it all the way. We didn't think about all the like the loopholes. We just went straight to the hoo-ha. So we did, and we ate that. We started at the top. By the way, these were Crunch Berry ones, so they had the berries mixed in.
Those are great.
That has no real bearing on the problem other than what came later. But anyway, I'll explain that in a minute.
Do you like the just the berries? Have you gotten that one?
I have, yeah. Well, I was much younger. Now, here's the thing. I can't eat Captain Crunch now at all, and I haven't for probably a decade or more.
Right.
More than that, even.
Because of your diabeticulitis, right?
No. Because I – yeah. Because that's – I love the way you pronounced it. That sounded like even more of an old man disease.
Right.
I got the diverticulitis or whatever you said.
Diverticulitis day.
So, it was like so much cereal and so much sugar that when we got about two-thirds done, we both hurled uncontrollably for the rest of the afternoon.
Oh.
And I remember my mom had this couch that had paisley, like a paisley pattern in it.
Right.
And I remember him yakking on the floor and my mom was so pissed because we had this really nice carpet. And it totally was hard to get out. Right. I yacked on the couch. No big deal because that pattern just hid the puke.
It was already crunchberry red.
It already was. So, and that was the problem. The crunchberries are the ones that stained everything. So when you were all done, they were like, there was these red sunspots on everything that were from the crunchberries. The Captain Crunch bar was no problem. Anyway, it was really bad.
Right.
And it was a stupid idea. That's number one. Number two, around the same age, I'm at my grandpa's house. He's got like a farm kind of thing, small farm, few acres, you know, no big deal.
Right.
And we're out running around with the cousins like you do. And I had always heard if you pee on an electric fence that it doesn't work. And in fact, I watched that Mythbusters episode where they did that and they sort of kind of disproved the idea that you could pee on one and it would electrocute you.
Right.
Now, that's all much later, obviously. But when I was a kid, I'd been told, nah, that doesn't work. The stream can't create a circuit.
Right.
So I said,
Scott Johnson ever the Mythbuster.
I want to disprove this or I want to go try it. I want to see if you guys are right. So I got up my guts to do it. Right. And it's dark. It's like 10 o'clock at night and I'm out in front of a highly electrified fence that the bunch of cows couldn't get through. And I peed on it and it works sometimes. I don't know what the perfect circumstances have to be, you know, like perfect storm kind of situation.
Right.
But it worked. It was electrifying. I thought I was going to die. And it was so bad that I actually stumbled backwards and grabbed the electric fence that was to the just adjacent to it, kind of in the rear. And that was electrified. And I couldn't pull my hand off of it.
So I'm laying
on the ground with my pants and my ankles with my doodle swinging and my pee going everywhere. And I'm screaming and I'm holding onto the other thing while my cousins laughed. And eventually they were like, oh, no, this is bad.
That's just like the gypsy described your death, right? You knew that's exactly how it was going to happen.
Yeah. So he goes, they're hearing static again. I don't know what to tell you guys. I can't change it. I don't know what's going on.
Move it around again.
Yeah.
Shake,
you know what?
Shake it like an Etch-a-Sketch.
Let's move this again. How's that? Any better? Somehow? Is it better somehow? We'll find out.
I have no idea. I don't know what that is.
Something's changed. Obviously, something's changed.
It shows it's all working. I don't know what it is. Anyway, podcast will be fine. I don't know what to tell you guys. I apologize. I'm trying. I'm doing my best.
He's doing his best, people.
It's hard to tell a story about peeing on a thing and then having everybody being...
We can't hear it. It's too staticky.
Stupid story. All right. I'll fix that. I don't know what's going on, but I'll fix that later. Anyway, so there you go. Don't do stupid things is the bottom line. All right? Or you may end up like this guy right here. You don't want that, right?
Well, I mean, okay. Okay, come on. Peeing on an electric fence, there's a possibility you weren't going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Blowing up fireworks on your lips, that's going to hurt every time. Every single day of the week, there's no Mythbusters needed for that. It's going to hurt.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. Don't do it. We recommend against it.
Sorry, I stepped away from the microphone.
Yeah,
Throw away.
That's the bottom line. Don't do it. All right. Let's we're swinging with both arms here. We're going to call Daryl. We're going to get this thing going. I feel bad for the chat because I have no idea what's going on, guys. I have no idea. I can restart the stream, I suppose.
I think maybe we should just stop the stream and start the stream.
Let's try it right here. Let's see. Stopped. Okay. Now we're starting it again.
I don't know if that'll do us any good. We're about to find out. Let's do this while we get ready to do that. It's Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by
Comics Coast to Coast, where this week we'll be talking to nobody. Optionally, we will be getting together with Joel Duggan of Starcrossed Online and Matt the Wad of Matthew the Wad. And we'll be talking about webcomics and your favorite comics. And I'm on that podcast.
Who's so. Matthew the Wad? Who's explain him.
Matthew Ducharme. Oh. I always call him Matt the Wad because that is his creation. So check out MattTheWad.com.
Oh, got it. That's his comic. Sure.
Right. Love it.
Now I get it. Daryl, you there?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. Listening to that static on Twitch just was like being shocked straight to my brain
what
for 20
that?
Minutes straight.
I don't get it. I don't know what I did. Everything on this end looks fine. It's really weird. I'm going to have to dig deep.
I think it's a bad cable because you were wiggling something and it was changing it.
Oh, really? And it's fine. Okay, I'm doing it again. Wiggling it now. Chat room, can you hear me wiggle it?
Can you hear me wiggle it? Chat room, can you hear me wiggling it? I'm wiggling it.
It fixed it for a while, but I think it's a bad cable.
All right. Well, I'll do my best, folks. I don't know what's causing it, but we'll do our best. Okay. Daryl, it's good to have you back. It's Star Trek time, and it's fun to have you on with Brian Dunaway because I think it's been since ELR that you were ever sort of gracing the same stage, other than, you know, whatever we would do with Film Sack or something. But back in the day, you would participate and call in and do stuff.
Yeah.
And this is like a reunion of sorts. Sounds kind of nice.
It is.
I like it.
Daryl, how are you?
I am good. It is good to hear you.
I haven't talked to you since that incident.
It's fantastic. all right, Daryl. Real quick, your take on stuff like this? Did you ever do anything that dumb when you were younger?
No. Hmm. I love hearing idiots be stupid, though.
Right? Do you think it's a youth thing? Like it's a... Straight up.
No, I think it's an idiot thing.
Okay. So
probably 70-year-olds doing that are they're just stupid.
Well, that would be a video. 70-year-old guy with a bunch of firecrackers taped to his lips. I'd be all down with that. That would be fantastic.
I wonder if that makes your lips plump.
That maybe plump that's what look. He was trying to do.
Right?
I have no idea.
Very Hollywood.
Yeah.
I have no idea. Well,
yeah, that surgery is too expensive. Let's see if we can do something cheaper.
Yeah, that's way better than collagen treatment. Is that what they call it, where they inject pig intestines into your face or whatever they do?
Right.
I don't know how this stuff goes.
Pull fat from your butt.
Is that how they do it? Is it what they transplant from other parts of your body?
Some of them, I'm not an expert. Yeah, but I hear that some of them are doing like that. They pull it from other parts of the body.
That's nice.
It's like, oh, you got a lot of belly fat. Let me put it in your lips. Oh, now you look much more attractive.
Yeah, that's gross. Nobody wants that in their life. So it's good to have you on, Daryl. It's time for Star Trek trivia. You know the deal. You know the drill. You've been doing this for a long time. And this week you're going for a perfect week, so I'm feeling pretty good about things. This is an original series episode, A Taste of Armageddon. Remember that one?
Was it
good? I don't have a memory of it. Any good?
Yeah, it was okay.
All right. Well, here you go. Let's try this one out. In the original series episode, A Taste of Armageddon, the Enterprise is en route to Star Cluster NGC 321. To open diplomatic relations with the planets there, a message comes from the planet MNRR 8. No, V1-7. So MNRR 7. I hate
Now I can't say it. MNRR.
Yeah. MNRR, thank you. Uhura tells Kirk that the message is coded. What Starfleet code does she say the message uses? So here's a little fun number one for you.
No.
Is it A, code 1, B, code 47, C, code 1, alpha 0, or D, code
7-10?
7-10? Yeah.
What was the first one?
That was the sequel or prequel to 7-11. First one was code 1, second one was B, code 47, C is code 1, alpha 0, and D is code 7-10. I don't know if you count the dash. It's in there, but I don't know if you say the dash. Because they also have a dash between the 1, the alpha, and the 0 in the other one. Anyway, I want you to think hard and long about those. We're not eating anything today in deference to Brian Ibbett and his illness.
Oh, I'm eating something.
Are you? What are you eating, Brian? What are you testing today? Anything?
Yeah, I'm eating crackers.
No, that's good. That's
they're
not
chocolate.
That's not a very chocolate. What? Explain.
No, they're basically chocolate crackers. It's like the Lance in your pocket.
What?
Crackers.
What?
It's just basically Oreos.
Lance in your pocket.
Lance in your pants. You're not familiar with that whole advertising schema thing they do for Lance chips?
No, we don't have that here, crackers. I don't think. I think that's a regional deal.
Yeah, they have a big old truck that rides around. There's like people with those bobblehead looking people, and they're like, get Lance in your pants. And I'm like, ooh, that sounds...
Okay. Okay. Well, I have no idea. Oh, they're all saying the sounds better now, and don't move anything. Okay, I'm not touching anything. Don't know what's going on. Is it better, you guys? Chat room? It takes me. They're a whole minute behind, so I can't even get good feedback right away. I've never heard of this, so send me some of these, will you? Or get some.
Right,
fan that lives in South Carolina. You guys want to put your heads together and get me some damn chips? That'd be great. I can't really eat that stuff anymore. I have decided.
Well, I got a jingle too.
Here's something I got to tell you guys. All right. So, and Daryl and I have been going back and forth on email about this, and you know, whatever. You start to get a little older, you get weird stuff. I got the diverticulitis thing that I'm dealing with right now, and things are going well. Today, I'm a little bloated and kind of painful again, and I think what it comes down to for me is bread. I've got to cut freaking bread out of my damn diet. And like pretzels, crackers, breads, like stuff that when you eat it is small and compact, and then when you do, it hits like the liquid in your body, and you go, and it turns into a big fat sponge and expands. I got to quit doing that.
Do you know why, Scott?
Why?
Paleo man diet says man was not meant to eat wheaty stuff.
Are you on the paleo man diet?
Well, not really, but it is pretty similar to just regular lifestyle of living and eating whole foods and that kind of stuff. I mean, when you start getting into things that you have to crack open shells to eat, maybe you shouldn't eat them.
It sounds like what you just described, paleo man diet, sounds like the Atkins diet. It's the same thing, just eating all meat.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, anything that you could actually go out and secure on your own and eat, like fresh fruits and vegetables and, you know, animal meat and that kind of stuff.
Okay. Maybe that's what I need to do. I need to maybe refocus my efforts and double down on the food that I could only eat when we were cavemen.
Right.
It's fantastic. Daryl, back to you. Caveman himself. You'd be a good caveman, actually, if you wanted to be. Because you got that cool beard and you could totally fake it.
Captain Trek Nerd!
What birthdays are we celebrating today, if any?
Oh, that would be your favorite. Michelle Forbes is 49 today.
Oh, I like Michelle Forbes. She got that mole, that big old mole on her lip or chin or wherever it is.
She's a good side of
She should blow it off with a firecracker.
That's what I'm saying. See?
Hey, here's a pack of firecrackers. Why don't you go take care of that thing on your face?
Give her a moleplasty or something.
Nice.
Great. I like her, so that's good. I make fun of her mole a lot, but whatever. I have plenty of moles. You guys should see this one on my back. I've had since I was a kid, and I probably just need to get this burned off, but it's starting to look like an 82-year-old man's scrotum. Like it's just this little tiny, like a little miniature scrotum.
I saw one of those yesterday. I was at the gym. True story.
What? Shut up.
For I real? Walk in and I seem to walk in and I'm coming around the corner and I'm like, and dude goes straight, no Benzy at the knees, straight down for something he dropped. And I'm like, oh, mother.
Did he cast a shadow?
Yeah, I get the back sack and it's like, oh, I don't need to see that.
All right. Now they're telling me the sound comes again. I don't know, guys. I have no idea. Here, how about this? One more thing to try. There. Did that help?
Oh, look, we have tribbles on the mixer. No wonder. Let me get rid of those.
Okay, I don't know what's going on. Okay. Well, great. That sounds wonderful. Daryl, back to you. So this question seems a little hard because it's just a number, and I know you don't love these, but I sense goodness in your heart today. So where are you at? What do you think? Code 1, code 47, 1 alpha 0, or 710?
I think 47 is just put in there to throw me off because of the whole 47 thing.
Oh, right. I forgot. That's the Star Trek number.
Yeah.
I always don't think of it that way because I think of it as Agent 47 from the... what's it called, Brian? The stealth action spy game. Hitman.
Hitman.
Yeah, smart man. Is that what you're going to say?
Hit smart.
Yeah, hit smart. You were thinking of Get Smart, weren't you?
Get Smart.
That's not it. It's Hitman.
Hitman.
Agent 47 is Hitman. Well, you're right, though, that Get Smart had all those, like...
numbers.
Yeah.
Right. They had numbers, too.
Yeah. Agent whatever. Boy, that's a lovely link. Thank
Agent
you.
Agent 47.
Irony Man just made my day. All right. So, Daryl, what do you think? Where are you at?
Okay. And I'm going to cross out one... Now, I forgot the question now. What do these numbers have to do with?
They are the code, supposedly the let's see, what would they call it? Hold on. I got to find it here. Starfleet code that the message was coded in.
Okay. One, that's...
Yeah, code one, everybody. This one's in code one.
That means everything's normal.
Right? Yep. It'd be great if it was binary.
I have
like
a code
that.
One coming in.
Yeah, there's a code one message coming in. Oh, it's normal? Okay.
Text.
Yeah, it's just a text.
Rich text format.
Code three. Oh, shit. We're in trouble.
Oh, schmick.
Yep.
So I've narrowed it down to 2-1-A-0-7-1-0. 7-10. Well, 1-8-0 seems like it's too much to say.
Like I'm doing math.
Yeah, I just feel like math. Sometimes these number ones do.
Yeah, that's. I don't like that. So I'm going to say 7-10 because you can just say 7-10 and it just rolls off your tongue.
Right. You can imagine. What character can you imagine saying that?
7-10.
7-10.
No, none of them, now that you mention it. I don't remember a single character in Star Trek history that talked like that, but sure, why not? Let's find out if you're right. Judges, is it 7-10?
Congratulations!
Nice.
You're a winner!
She says it's 7-10. This means no Starfleet or Federation ship could get to the planet for any reason. In this episode, two planets in the cluster are at war. The war is only simulated, however, and the results are real. People report to a disintegration booth to die. Kirk eventually destroys the computers used to simulate the war. Here's a clip. Clip.
You realize what you have done?
Yes, I do. I've given you back the horrors of war. The Vendicans will now assume that you've broken your agreement, preparing to wage real war with real weapons. They'll want to do the same. Only the next attack they launch will do a lot more than just count up numbers on a computer. They'll destroy your cities, devastate your planet. You, of course, will want to retaliate. If I were you, I'd start making bombs. Yes, Councilman, you have a real war on your hands. You can either wage it with real weapons, or you might consider an alternative. Put an end to it. Make peace.
Isn't this basically breaking the Prime Directive with him waltzing in there and changing the way they do stuff like that?
Not if you throw a lot of bravado behind it.
What you're saying, if you throw a lot of bad 60s era
right, it's fine then.
Yeah.
It's funny, this storyline I've always loved, and it seems more relevant now today than ever with all all the governments with their little subvert virus attacks and all the NSA crap and all that stuff. So
yeah,
it's interesting.
It is weird. Daryl, good job. You've done it. You've nailed it. Code 710, and you are 3 days perfect this week. Wow. You got one more day to prove that you truly are. What was that old...
nerd?
You are the something... Wow, what was that show with that old lady? It was a...
You are no longer with us.
Oh, you are truly the weakest link. That's it.
Oh,
you are no longer with us. You are no longer with us doesn't roll off the tongue quite
right.
as much.
You must now leave.
Yes, get out.
Gotta come up with something better.
Good job, and let's do it again tomorrow. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com is a place you can hear him talk about stuff. And now he will regale us with some sort of contest of some sort. It's still chair week or something, isn't it?
Yes. Right. Is this a Star Trek thing or a chair?
Okay, great. I don't have a theme for you. Oh, wait. Yeah, I do. Here you go. Here you go.
No.
All right, there's your theme. Go
ahead. Inada.
Inada?
Inada.
All right, Brian, what do you think? Alien? Okay,
this was
or
this
Star Trek
was,
thing or chair?
This is a character from Chips. Oh, am I not doing this right?
No.
It's a chair.
Okay. I'm going to say also a chair.
Oh my gosh. It's a massage chair, in fact.
Look at us. Nice. Look at the brains on us.
Right.
We're smart.
It is indeed actually shaped like Eric Estrada.
We are SMRT.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Hey, everybody. It's the news, and it's brought to you by...
Current Geek, where we have Patrick Beja and Brian Ibbett on this week. CES won't know what to do with us.
Yeah.
Subscribe at currentgeek.com
today. Thank you very much. Thank you. Brian Ibbett should be Bell. Well, Bell. He should be Bell and well.
Yeah, he should be Bell.
Yeah. Hopefully be here tomorrow, too. Guess we'll find out.
Where's the beast?
Where is the beast? I don't think anyone's back there. Remember that ad? That commercial? I actually played it yesterday, in fact.
Is that, that's what my girlfriend said.
What? Where's the beef?
No. I don't think there's anybody back there.
It's even worse. good deal. All right, let's see what we got here. In the news today, Sony unveils the PlayStation Gaming On Demand service that we've all had in our heads that they might do at some point. And they announced it at CES. Sony announced the hotly anticipated streaming game service along with news that it sold more than 4.2 million PlayStation 4s by the start of the year. That's pretty damn good. PlayStation Now, it's called, is set to begin test phase this month and launch in the U.S. By mid-year. Promises to let gamers access blockbuster titles in the internet cloud and play them on an array of devices, intended to expand over time. So the idea is that you would get PlayStation, well, in theory, PlayStation 1 through 3.
Right, right.
Games that you could, through this service, just straight up play with your PS4 or your Vita.
Right. Now, is this only to the Sony library? Because wouldn't that be kind of tricky to get other companies to agree to that?
No. I think if they pay them for old titles that you couldn't even play on anything anymore, I think that that's a really good deal for them. So, for example, if you said, we know for sure it'll be Sony titles, but I think at some point you say, okay, and also it will include Spyro the Dragon because that's awesome, and here you go, and then
because
there's
you
royalties
like Skylanders.
Well, right. That's true. I forgot this. Somebody else owns that now, don't they?
Yeah.
Like Activision or somebody. But whatever it is, they'll get money for that. So it's not like they're just giving up their rights to it. And I'm sure maybe some game makers won't want to deal with this or whatever, but it makes sense to me. Otherwise, your game makes no money. So why not have it make some money? I think it's a really good idea. I think it's kind of rad.
I think it's an awesome idea. I'm totally stoked that I'm so excited that PlayStation has totally embraced the gamers and said, you know what? We're tired of being against you. We're just going to be on your side. What do you want?
There is a lot of that going on over there at Sony right now, which is nice. I still think their electronics division is kind of crazy. I was watching the keynote, and they're weird. 4K this, and a little. They have a tennis racket, like accelerometer that they're trying to market for a tennis racket. What are you guys doing? That's not a gaming thing. That's a straight up like. You play tennis, you strap this to your tennis racket, you go out there, and this thing like tells you how good your swing was and stuff. And that's great. If you're a tennis player, this is probably a boon to you. But that is not a mass market thing. And they were up on that stage going, this will change the way people play tennis.
But this is what you do. This is what you do when you're making lots of money. And Sony's making, they're doing all right. They're hanging in there. And you put all that money back to R&D. And you do stupid crap and you go, well, we have some extra money. Let's blow it on something. What do you want? How like an accelerometer for a tennis racket? Sounds great. Let's
do it. Sure. Whatever. Yeah. And they've got like GoPro ripoffs and just a bunch of other devices. It's very interesting what Sony's doing in general. But when it comes to gaming, I like this for another reason. And that is this answers the whole, hey, I wish my console was backwards compatible because now it suddenly is. And it's
exactly.
It's like enormously backwards compatible. And it actually works, according to The Verge, who had some hands-on. They say it totally works, and it's great, and we love it.
Right.
So if it's as good as they say it is, and it makes sense money-wise, I kind of hope it's rolled into Plus memberships or just a small add-on to that or something, because I don't want to pay two big separate subscriptions to Sony. That seems really dumb to me.
Right.
So I think there's a real issue there, and I think they need to address that. And I'm sure they will, but that's something to be concerned about or think about. But this is great. And Microsoft really doesn't have, at least right now, an answer to, well, how do I play back catalog, 360 games? Maybe they'll have to respond and do this. And that's always a good thing if, competition spurs development. So let's see how it goes.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Microsoft would be slow to move on this.
You think so?
Which makes me sad.
Hmm.
But I would love for them to do that as well.
Yeah, they probably will. I don't know if it makes me sad.
You know who will even be even slower to move on this?
Who?
Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They would rather resell you a $15 version of Super Mario Brothers than they would have you emulate it,
Right.
Because that's really what this is. I mean, it's not true emulation. It's streaming. It's kind of like what OnLive was supposed to be, but
right.
It's why they bought those Gaikai people.
Right, yeah,
now
yeah.
They're
yeah.
using that tech, and it's all good. PlayStation Now, everybody. Coming to a PS4 near you.
Can't wait.
And a Vita. Jerome Davis. Back to news we normally cover on this show.
Ooh.
Pulls a knife on his brother for eating too many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
I'm going to poke you like a big Pillsbury Doughboy if you don't stop eating them PB&J sandwiches.
Wow, we're getting like play-by-play here. I like it.
You're welcome.
Police say an Iowa man was arrested after he pulled a knife on his brother during a fight over peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. The Des Moines Register reported this, that Jerome Davis was arrested on Friday after the confrontation with his brother in the Des Moines home. Both men are in their 50s, aren't they always?
See, that is what stopped me right there. Mm. Now, if this had been a couple of teenagers, I'm like, okay, yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwiches are very, very important to a teenager. But when you get to your 50s... it's okay. Go get another PB&J sandwich. What kind of financial situation are you in?
Yeah, have as many as you want, dude.
Right.
Don't. There shouldn't be a limit. No one should be telling a 50-year-old dude that you can't have another PB&J sandwich.
I'm curious, though. Are they PB&J purist, or were they like Goober Grape or something like that? That mixed up.
All right, look. This brings up a bunch of questions I have about age. And one of them is, why does it seem okay if a teenager's doing it versus an old man doing it? But also, what is the cutoff for the goober stuff, like the ribbon mixed peanut butter and jelly combo thing? And I don't even know the last time I saw that, but at some point you have to go, there is an age where you should not be eating that anymore.
Well, there's not really, I think there's a social stigma to it. Now, when I get in the line at the grocery store and I got my Goober Grape, I always laugh uncomfortably and go, these are for the kids.
Yeah.
I'm not going to eat this.
Then you go home and have a big spoon of it.
Yeah, I don't even go home. I just got a spoon in my car and I go out in the car and shamefully eat it.
I remember liking it when I was a kid.
Right. It's pure sugar, man. That whole thing, the peanut butter sugar, the jelly sugar is nothing. I don't even know if there's any real peanut butter in those things.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much of that is an actual, like, nutritious version of the jelly or the... It's not, is it?
It's not.
The process is all hell and back.
But what happens, I mean, is he's... what his Davis was angry because his brother was eating too many peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Pissed.
He says he was angry because he believed his brother was eating too many of them, and Davis allegedly made three sandwiches and ate them in their living room and made another one less than an hour later.
That's it! I can see him patiently sitting on the couch. That's it! I've had it!
That's it. I'm stabbing you now. I think there's more problems afoot there. I think this is a surface level confrontation. The police only know so much, and I bet there's some history there.
Right.
Also, why are you living with your brother when you're 50?
Right.
HelloFresh is sponsoring today's show. HelloFresh.com. It's easy. It's great. And all you got to do is go there to HelloFresh.com. Find out if they're in your area, because if they are, they're awesome. Their chefs create these recipes. You pick what you like, and they send you the exact farm fresh ingredients all the way down to the whatever it is, like salt or pepper or whatever. Like every little freaking thing.
Right.
And then you take about 30 minutes to make it. It's awesome. It shows up in a freezer box, all fresh, all ready to go. We've done it. It was amazing.
I haven't done this yet. This looks interesting.
It's really cool. And they're all over the place. Netherlands, Germany, Australia, big chunks of the U.S., the U.K.
I can't wait to make them drive out in this 10-degree weather in the south.
Oh, dude. How you guys doing with that? A big cold front out there.
Pretty cold, man. It got down to into the single digits around here, which is unheard of.
That's weird in the south.
Yeah. I had to get out and scrape ice a second time while I was driving today.
I
scraped it before I left, and I had to get out actually part of the way to work and get out and scrape again.
I was in Mississippi in 1991, there was a cold snap, and for 2 days there were ice storms,
right?
Ice on the roads, and at one point I put a mouse outside because we found one, and it froze. I came out an hour later, and it was in the place I set it, but it had one of the pop tops from a soda can.
Right.
Gripped in its two little hands and its teeth, and it was frozen solid dead, just chewing on that soda can thing. And I remember thinking, man, this is probably not usual weather for this place. But yeah, it's cold, and we hope everyone's doing okay. Warm yourself up with a big, fresh bucket of awesome from HelloFresh.com. Right. Use the code MorningStream50 for 50% off for first-time customers. That's
what?
Hello. I know. Hell of a deal, that right?
That's good.
Yeah, I feel like you're ripping them off almost. HelloFresh.com.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
The Silver Seven, a new novel in the superhero genre that breaks old boundaries and breaks new ground. Surprising, funny, and exciting. This story pits the most unlikely of protagonists against the most intimidating of opponents. Full of dry humor, shocking twist, and pop culture in jokes. I get those. The Adventures of Seven Geriatric Superheroes is a sure hit for anyone who's earned their nerd chops. Coming soon to print, available on Amazon for the Kindle now. The Silver Seven by Christopher Markley.
All right, well, there you have it. Sorry, I'm telling the chat room that I'm going to fix this by tomorrow. O.J. Simpson.
I've heard of that guy.
In the news again.
Isn't he still in jail?
He's in the Naked Gun movies, man. Remember that?
I remember those. And also, did he do the airplane movies at all? Or
no,
was it just the Naked
so.
Gun?
I think it was just Naked Gun. Right. And those are similar. Same creators, directors, and stuff. So.
I think I'm thinking of somebody else.
Some other guy.
Someone else.
O.J. Simpson, yes, he is in prison. He's in jail in Vegas for whatever thing happened down there. Nothing to do with the killings that he definitely did.
He's actually my prison pen pal.
Oh, great.
We write often.
You engaged yet? You going to get married? You have a conjugal?
Dearest OJ, I found your other glove. What should I do with it?
Well, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit.
All right.
Mr. President, he says to President Obama, he says, I know my life is coming to an end. Please don't let me die in prison. I feel the end coming, but I don't want to die in prison like common jailhouse scum, he says. Now, he kind of had a little sympathy coming from me, just a little bit, when he says, Mr. President, I know my life is coming to an end. Please don't let me die in prison. I feel the end coming. He could have stopped there.
That
and everybody
would have
gone, oh, I mean, they may not have let him out, but you would have been a little bit, okay, well, you know, you're at the, we get it. But no, he had to add on, I don't want to die in prison like common jailhouse scum. What are you?
That's exactly where he loses all the sympathy.
Yeah. I don't like that at all. Apparently, he's got diabetes.
And, does he really?
And a brain tumor of some sort.
What?
Yeah, I'm trying to find this here. He says his memory's slipping. He's getting painful headaches and other symptoms, dizzy spells, lapses in memory.
You know what? You know, I hate to be non-empathetic or sympathetic or however you want to subscribe it. But I always feel bad for myself when I feel this way. But lots of times I'm like, yeah, prison sucks. It's sad that you're sick or, you know, or you have panic attacks or whatever else, but that's prison.
Yeah, welcome to prison, man.
Prisons, I mean, when they send out these emails like, prison's hard. I don't want to do this. Well, no kidding.
Don't do the
no
crime
one wants to
if
go
you
to
don't
prison.
Want to do the time.
Right?
Exactly. And he's
and
not.
I have no idea if he's guilty or not. That's not my place. I don't care. But I mean, he's in there.
A reminder that he's in prison for, he's serving time in prison for kidnapping, assault, and robbery. This has nothing to do with the other thing he did.
Right. This is because someone had, he said they had his stuff. He said he wanted his stuff.
Yeah. It just goes to show, who cares about stuff? Quit caring about stuff.
Right.
That's the lesson here, guys. Back off of the stuff.
Back off the stuff. You don't even need stuff.
Yeah. I don't think he'll get out, but that's just my thought.
Especially not with that.
OJ has the sense that he's special and he needs to be treated specially. He's not.
Right.
He was an incredible athlete who just blew it all.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do? Morrissey. I like Morrissey.
Girlfriend
in a coma, you know.
Oh.
He's the one. Morrissey compares eating meat to pedophilia.
Right.
Yeah, this is good.
Exactly. I'm on board. No, that's crazy.
Crazy talk. Morrissey is certainly no stranger to controversy. The former Smiths singer, a longtime vegetarian, has made his thoughts on meat eating abundantly clear in his latest Q&A with fans. He took to True to You, an online fan site dedicated to the artist, and answered questions submitting by his devout listeners. Right. Quote, here's a quote. This is the worst. Quote, I see no difference between eating animals and pedophilia. They are both rape, violence, and murder, he says.
Right.
Whoo!
Right? What does A&E have to say about that? Are they canceling his show?
I don't know. Does he have a show?
I don't think
Morrissey
so.
Doesn't have a show on A&E, does he? Oh, because you're dead, like
the Duck
people.
Dynasty. Oh, I get it now.
How you feel about those duck people?
You know what? They are what they are. And when I was probably more offended by A&E and the fact that they acted like they didn't know this was the guy's opinion.
Yeah,
what?
That was my problem.
Because what? That's how he feels?
I want to make a really important point here. That was an act. Like, I want to make this. Right. This is my biggest issue with all of the whole thing. It wasn't about, I don't like bigotry and I don't like any of that. And I also don't like, what am I trying to say? I don't like bigotry. But here's what I don't like more. No, that shouldn't be true. I guess I also don't like corporate hypocrisy.
That's the word.
And A&E is just full of garbage.
right?
They're full of crap. They all are, and any other network would have done the same thing, and they were playing off this PR thing. It's a stunt. The whole thing is a freaking stunt. So when he says something dumb, they go, ooh, and dollar signs pop up in their eyes,
right,
like a freaking cartoon character, and they roll and they run around in the room screaming, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, we got to take advantage of this. And so what do? Yeah, we're going to go ahead and suspend him from filming. Outcry, freak out, everybody has a poo on both sides of the thing, and then they come back and go, oh, guess what, we're bringing him back on.
Absolutely. It's probably sold more merchandise than ever. I mean, remember the Chick-fil-A thing when there was a big stand against Chick-fil-A? Biggest day ever because people were outraged and they wanted to support Chick-fil-A. And I'm like, see, why? This is not even...
It's just stupid. The whole thing's stupid. I get the idea. I mean, you know, I think the Chick-fil-A owner guy is kind of a bigot.
Well, I think these guys are bigots. It's not even a question.
But that's the point, is it's not so much that that isn't the question. Nobody's arguing that.
Right.
And, you know, it really, for me, it boiled down to A&E is full of crap. That's what it boiled down to.
But man, pedophilia?
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Eating animals?
He continues his, here's his quote. No, I already read that. Continuing his comparison of the meat industry to other horrible human-related situations, he also likened the slaughter of animals to genocide, saying this, quote, if you believe in the abattoir, is it abattoir? Abattoir? What is that?
Abattoir.
I don't know what that is. Then you would support Auschwitz. Oh, I guess the Abbott, what is that? Like, it's like a slaughterhouse or something. Anyway.
Maybe that's like a book or something.
Not holding anything back, it says, Morrissey suggests that everyone watch the YouTube video called The Video of the Meat Industry Does Not Want You to See in order to see his perspective, and that it does not make a person want to switch to vegetarian, then they are probably made of granite.
Well, then you can't kill me then, because I'm granite. Whatever you say,
here's the deal. Look. If I had a cow to kill, let me change the way I say that. I will admit, I don't think animals are treated well at all. Like, I think we herd a bunch of chickens, cows, and turkeys into a thing, and it's all kind of awful. They don't have good life. They're mass produced. It's bad. Okay, right. I am with Morrissey on that. I do not think that you can take millions of years and at least thousands of years of recorded human history.
Right.
And boil all of that meat eating down to you're nothing but you're just the same as pedophiles.
Right, right.
For eating meat this whole time.
Right.
I think that the way it used to be, I mean, look, if all the movies I've seen are right, and if the stereotypes in my head are true, the Indians killed the buffalo and used all of the buffalo. Right. We waste none of the buffalo. Right.
Exactly.
And they had respect for the animal. They would eat the animal, but they made sure that they flourished. They didn't over farm it. Like, you know, the white man came in and screwed that all up. But the point is, there have been times where people eat meat responsibly, and by responsibly, I mean the animals are treated with some care. You know, I would recommend people watch that Temple Grandin movie on HBO.
Morrissey, I see your meat is bad video, and I up you this YouTube video.
Oh, is it one of how badly lettuce is treated? Is that what that is?
Right.
How bad sprouts are treated.
And this is totally Morrissey. I doubt he actually believes this, but he is trying to generate buzz by going, what is the most reprehensible social action around? Everybody can agree that pedophilia is bad. So he's going, okay, so we should put it on par with that. And it's just, socially, we don't believe that. And he's trying to get us to think. And you know what? Last person who tried to get me to think about not eating meat was Pamela Anderson when she said, you shouldn't eat meat. And also, you should be taking 3 cat-sized poops a day.
I remember that. 3 cat-sized poops a day.
Right. And I'm like, and it confused the crap out of me because I was like, do you mean 3 poops the size of my cats, or do you mean this poops the size that cat poop?
Yeah. No, I know about frozen falcon. I know about Kobe beef. I've had some. It's good.
Oh yes. Eat grass-fed animals who are, you know, in free range chickens and all that kind of stuff. That's the way I prefer to consume my meat. But you know, I don't always. Sometimes I just get in a can. I have no idea where it came from.
Yeah, there you go. Right? Well, Morrissey, here, we'll play this and think about you as we play it.
Don't eat meat.
And you're a pedophile. All right. Good deal. There you go. That's your news. And I would like to thank our friends at Tweaked Audio for sponsoring the show. That's tweakedaudio.com. with 5 great styles, 7 great colors, all designed to sound great with music and talk, engineered for durability and noise reduction, lifetime warranty, folks. That seems like a good deal. Go check them out. 33% off using the code STREAM for your next pair of fantastic audio earbuds. We are going to take a break. When we come back, Mr. Tom Merritt will be here. We're doing him early. I forgot to tell Nicole this. That's okay. Should be okay. Tom Merritt will be here, and he'll talk about tech because that's what he does. We're going to talk about technology, probably talk a little bit about Current Geek and how overwhelmingly happy we are with the numbers. Holy crap, it went crazy.
Insane.
Yeah, we'll do that. Then we got Nicole coming for movies after that and a bunch of other stuff. In the meantime, I'm going to play a song. This is a cover because that's what we do on the show. Brian's not here to give you brilliant sort of breakdown of what the hell the song is and where it came from. Right. So I'll just tell you, I really like it. It's the Pickin' On series, Bluegrass Tribute to the Shins. I like the Shins. This is their version of New Slang.
Ooh, and I do like this song.
Yeah, the song's good, right? It's good no matter who does it. But I really like this version of it. We'll play this when we come back. All that stuff I said and more. Stay tuned.
All in my mouth, only I don't know how they got out, dear. Turn me back into the pet I was when we met. I was happier then with no mindset. And if you took to me like a gull takes to the wind, I'd have jumped from my trees and I'd have danced like the king of the eyesores, and the rest of our lives would have fared well. New slang, when you notice the stripes, the dirt in your fries, hope it's right when you die. Like a bull through the hall, never should have called, but my head's to the wall and I'm lonely. And if you took to me like a gull takes to the wind, well, I'd have jumped from my trees and I'd have danced like the king of the eyesores, and the rest of our lives would have fared well. Godspeed all the bakers that don't, may they all cut their thumbs and bleed into their buns till they melt away. I'm looking in on the good life I might be doomed never to find, without a trust or flaming fields am I too dumb to refine. If you took to me like, well, I'd have danced like the queen of the eyesores, and the rest of our lives would have fared well.
dance like the queen of the eyesores, and the rest of our lives would have fared well.
As a matter of fact, here is some of that tobacco, all shredded and ready to be made into Lucky Strike cigarettes. Look at those long, perfectly cut strands of fine tobacco. One whiff of their fresh, rich aroma tells you that this indeed is fine tobacco.
How about a booby?
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with pee? This is the Morning Stream.
Back, everybody. Hello.
Hello.
Brian.
Scott.
What are you doing?
I am playing.
That's great. Let's call Tom Merritt, everybody, because that's how we do on Wednesdays. Normally, we call Nicole first. Or is it the other way? I don't remember now. I don't know what we usually do.
We'll call somebody.
I'm a little flummoxed over my... this weird static thing, and the Alpha Geek radio stream not working, and everything else not working. I don't know what's going on today.
Brian Ibbett puking everywhere.
Yeah, what's going on with that? He's such a barfer. Such a ralfer.
Is this Spanish?
All right, let's try him again. Call. Calling Ace Detect, everybody.
Call him.
That's the Ace Detect himself. Mr. Technology. Mr. Tom Merritt. Stuff. Who is probably thinking we're calling him early and not sure why we're calling him now. So we'll try Nicole instead. Let's try her.
Let's just call somebody. We don't care who.
And she's not online. So that's not good. See, I can't win today. This is just the way it is. Look, this will go down in history. People will look back and go, oh yeah, remember that episode they did in 2014 that was just shit? Because, I mean, it was okay because, you know, Scott and Brian had fun, but
none
of the guests were there and... the stream sucked and the audio stream wouldn't work and Brian knew it was sick.
The rest of the year can only get better.
Is that how you look at it?
Yeah.
You, sir, are an optimist of the truest form.
True story. My morning stream is half full.
I don't... Stay positive. Brian, stay positive. All right. Well, while we're trying to call him, we'll try Nicole now.
And Nicole just came online.
Yep. She's online now. So that she may be the saving grace here today. Here we go. Da, 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 da. Nicole, are you there?
Hi, guys.
Oh, it worked. Yay. Hold on. Here's a theme for you here. Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, join us now for Nicole time. Hi, Nicole. I was worried. I saw you offline. I thought, oh, no, she's somewhere. Not here.
No, I'm in the chat room, and I always forget to launch Skype.
Oh, no worries. Yeah, and it's always about 45 seconds after I say something that people actually hear it on the video.
Yeah. And so, you threw me because I was expecting Tom to be first. And we've been doing this for over 2 years, Scott. I'm really disappointed in
today doesn't count. Today is everything is effed up and I have to like figure everything out. And so I cannot honestly remember who do I normally bring in here first? You or Tom? Is usually Tom?
No, it's always me.
It's always you.
Always Nicole
at the top
first.
Of the hour.
Because
well,
Tom wanted to be earlier/on time because he has to like bolt at a certain like time. And so I think I had in my head that was why, but he's not answering. So it's you now. So it's you. It's just the way it is.
Sucks to be you, Tom.
It sucks to be Tom right now. He'll come around. Don't worry.
Wait,
so
your turn.
Nicole comes on, does recommendals for us. And yes. I've been converted to the Church of Nicole lately because I am surprised how much stuff, good stuff that Amazon Prime streaming has got right now.
It's kind of wild, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit weird because I'm a huge proponent of Netflix. I love those guys and I still do. It's just very interesting that occasionally I'll be like, I wonder what they got over here. Oh my gosh, they got these 10 things I want to see and I'll just go see them. So it's great.
They're killing it on TV shows and they just got a lot of new movies came out on streaming services on January 1st. Yeah. And, there's a few of them that overlap. In fact, one of my recommendals not only is on Amazon Prime, but it's also on Netflix and it's on Crackle.
Whoa, Crackle, what? Sony's platform. They kept bringing that up on stage yesterday at the Sony
Oh, really?
Event. Yeah, they seem to want to beef that thing up.
That would be nice. I mean, it's a free, you don't have to have subscription for it. You do have to sit through ads, but it's a nice alternative, especially if you've cut the cord and you're just looking for something to watch.
I do wish they had all Seinfeld episodes and not just like eight.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's about.
Do they rotate those?
No, they're the same. Mm-hmm. They've always been the same.
They do have, I think it's a new one with Louis C.K. with driving cars with coffee. I don't know. Coffee with comedians.
Yeah, the Jerry Seinfeld. Thing, yeah.
Yeah.
That show's pretty, that thing's weird. It's a web series, but I guess Sony has, he has a deal with Sony or
exclusive
something.
Rights to it. It's really a good little show. Yeah. I like it.
If anyone's not seen that, you should take time and watch it. There's a whole first season.
Riding in cars with comedians or.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Riding.
Is that like taxi cab confession?
Kind of, except it's more. Yeah. It's Seinfeld in the back of a cab with a comedian buddy talking.
No. They're driving in his car.
Oh, they're in his car? I thought it was a cab.
No. He's driving
around.
Are
you thinking a cash cab?
Maybe. Cash cabs. I hate cash
cab. I love cash cab. What are you talking about?
I want to like cash cab, but I don't like cash cab.
Trivia in a cab.
It's
pretty.
It's a weird idea, and I guess it works somehow, but. I feel like after you've seen like six cash cabs, you've seen all you ever need to see of cash cab.
Right.
That's all I'm getting at.
That's kind of true.
All right. So what is streaming this week that is, is it themed this week or what?
No, because I really haven't had time. I just got back from Las Vegas with Brian. I am not barfing because I think I had that in December.
Yeah, you had the thing he had. Although he said he puked once and the rest of it's been chest and like throat and stuff. So I don't know what he's got.
I don't know.
Really weird. Maybe you got a combo.
Yeah.
You can get those in Vegas.
With pretzels and cheese.
Yeah. He supersized it and then barfed on the show.
Oh,
it's fantastic. Anyway.
But yeah, it was so awesome hanging out with Brian and Gnomewise and... Steven
Chinbeard.
Gosh, there's so many. And Steven Reichlin. He was there too. Yeah. So it was just a good time. And go Morning Stream.
Yeah, dude. Okay. That was great.
Yeah,
Boo TFS. We should have won that one.
It was fragmented. Yeah. So we should have just picked a show and said, hey, everybody vote for the instance.
We split the vote. That's what happened. I think we actually had a real chance and we split that vote and killed our chances.
Agree.
We Ross Perot'd it, as Zibit said yesterday. We totally Ross Perot'd that bitch.
Never again.
All right.
So I've been watching a lot, like you said, Amazon Prime on my Roku 3.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
How do you like the 3? You like it?
I'm really liking it. Mm. It's a little snappier than the 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it has Netflix Prime on it. Though they need to really focus. So Amazon Prime, I think, is positioning himself in a really good place. So as Netflix is losing these licensing deals, it seems like Amazon Prime is kind of getting more. And if they don't take advantage of this and redo their interface, their idiots.
Yeah, it is their interface. The problem with the interface on all devices, it's bad on PlayStation as well. It's kind of like using Amazon on the web.
Yeah.
It's just clunky and weird, and they definitely could use an overhaul in that way. But they remind me, Amazon's kind of a funny fish because they remind me of Google before Google started getting UI people in.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a period there where Google services were awesome, but everything looked like shite. And usability wasn't great, and user interface was always a rough piece of business. And then somebody came along and said, "No, we're going to bring sexy back." And now Google stuff is a lot easier to use across the board. So this is the thing. This is a time where I think Amazon needs to pull somebody in like that and rethink the way they do user interface across the board from the website all the way down. And I think that would go a long way. But yeah,
I totally agree with you there.
Strong library though, it's good.
Yeah, it's getting really good. And because of you, I started watching Justified.
Oh, that show is so good.
That is a great show. So Mark and I are watching this. We cut the cord. Our last day with DirecTV was 2 days ago. And in fact, we cut it even sooner because we wanted to see if we would notice it.
Mm-hmm. Have they been calling you?
Not yet, but I'm sure they will.
Hmm.
But you know what? We have a TiVo Premiere that has a lifetime subscription on it because right. Mark bought a TiVo back in 2000.
Yeah, that's when they were doing that lifetime deal. That's true.
Yeah, so we were able to kind of, every time we upgraded, we got to keep our lifetime subscription so we don't have to pay for a subscription. Mm-hmm. So we have our TiVo connected to over the air, and we get, Phoenix is amazing with over the air shows. Yeah, so we just set everything up to record. We don't have to really worry about it. I have not noticed a thing. The only thing that I was worried about was American Horror Story. But because we have the Roku, we're just going to pick up episodes.
Can't you pick it up on Hulu Plus?
I don't think it's on Hulu Plus.
Yeah.
Is it?
Now I'm not sure. I think I saw something on there.
I watched it.
So this is the interesting. So American Horror Story Asylum, the whole season is streaming as well as the first season, but it's the third season, Coven, that's currently being released out.
Oh, right.
So we were just going to pick it up on iTunes, but then I was like, oh, wait, it's also on Amazon Prime, and I have a ton of credits from buying a lot of games over the holidays. So
oh, yeah, use
that's how we're, you know, $1.99, $2.99 for an HD episode. So that's so I'm not too worried about my TV viewing. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think I'm really enjoying it more because I'm saving $100 a month.
Right.
Now. Oh yeah, dude. No, we did it. What? I'm on my fifth or sixth year now of unplugging, right. And we've never looked back. And never, right. It was never an issue for us, and I'm sure it won't be for you guys either.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get back to the some of the recommendals. So one of the movies that came out that I thought, so this is an awkward one because if you like it, you kind of feel weird that you like it. Mm. And I've seen it the first time I watched it, I really did. I hated it.
Yeah.
But I've seen it a number of times and I've read about it, and there's a book based on it, and the book is even worse and just twisted. And it's the 2000 film with Christian Bale, American Psycho.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This film is just, whoa.
It's odd. It's an
it's
odd
so
film.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
But so Christian Bale plays Patrick Bateman, and he right. is a yuppie.
Yeah.
And I bring this film up because Brian and I had a moment at the podcast in New Media Expo where he gave me his business card.
Oh, he did?
So Brian has a business card, and it is literally just it's a white card with Brian R. Ibbett. That's it. That's
American
it.
That, Psycho.
That is pretty, yeah, that's pretty.
And that is totally yeah. American Psycho. And he made me think of this film, which made me go look for it. I'm like, oh, wow, it's streaming on Netflix. It's streaming on Prime. It's streaming on Crackle.
Yeah.
I
think it just started streaming. January this year, yeah, this month. Yeah.
I think so, too. Yeah. It's twisted. He's a psycho, like the title says. There's just like these weird things.
It's set
he
in
makes
the 80s.
You look, yeah, it's set in the 80s.
Wall Street juggernaut kind of thing.
Right. And there's a whole like scene with Huey Lewis in the news.
Which is how it should be in life.
Yeah.
To get more, back in time.
More Huey Lewis in the news, please.
Reese Witherspoon is his girlfriend. Yeah.
Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be chased by a man in his underwear? Or no, naked, excuse me. Chased by a naked man with a chainsaw, and then have him chase you down a bunch of stairs, and then think you're away from him, but have him then drop the running
chainsaw
on you. Oh
my god, that was such
you.
A crazy scene.
I mean, that's insane. Holy that whole thing
crap,
is
that
insane.
Was a crazy scene.
Yeah, if you like, want to see, this thing, is just Batman Unleashed, man. He is just
it's
crazy.
It's weird because there's moments where it's funny. There's other moments where it's just horrible. And then it starts messing with your mind, and you're like, is this really happening? Yeah. Like, what's going on? Like, it's really kind of confusing, and it takes it did for me. It took multiple viewings of it to make me think, well, maybe I understand it now. But it's the kind of movie that will just stick with you, and it's just,
in some ways, that's,
haunting.
It's not the kind of movie you can forget. And right. For good or for bad, whether you love the movie or not, that's something, I think.
It's a hard to classify movie.
All right.
So, yeah, so it's wild. So, America, did you. I get the impression that you really didn't like it.
I don't. No, I like it. I think I have. I think I. I mean, I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
I think a lot of people fall into it.
It's hard to explain. I don't know. Yeah. I'm kind of like where you were. You hated it at first. I kind of think I liked it more at first. And then later I'm like, I don't know about this. And then kind of come back on it. And it's just one of those movies. It just feels like it should have been come and gone. Nobody thinks about it anymore. Like it was just a blip on somebody's career, whatever. But there's something in there that's, there's something in there. Let's put it that way.
It sticks to you.
Yeah. Sticks to you like glue. It's hard to explain. Yeah. Anyway. So there's all number one. Recommendal, everybody. Go watch it.
So I'm just going to go down this path of thrillers. So the next film I have for you is a 1995 film that I think a lot of people have forgotten about. It is streaming on Amazon Prime right now. It stars Sigourney Weaver and Holly Hunter, and the film is called Copycat.
I don't remember this.
Well, go ahead, Brian.
That's got old Harry Connick Jr., right?
Yes, it does.
Right.
Cool. It also has Dermot Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney, I think.
Mulroney.
Yeah. Not Dylan McDermott for those.
Dylan McDermott. No.
Not the one that puts his wiener on the stove. Different guy.
Well, Holly Hunter, she's a cop, and she's working with Sigourney Weaver. And Sigourney Weaver is a agoraphobic.
Yeah.
Is that right? Where she can't go out into spaces.
Doesn't like big spaces. Like,
she's locked in. And so she's helping her catch a copycat murderer and a serial killer. So we're on a serial killer theme.
I guess that's the theme.
Yeah,
I like it. Sure. Why not?
There we go. Why not?
Unless your third one's like a Muppet movie or something. We should be good. All right. Watch that. That'll be fun. Don't think I've ever seen, but I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Oh, yeah. You should watch it. It might even be sackable. I'm not sure.
I'm into that. We're always looking for the sackables.
Yeah. I mean, it holds up. I think it's good. I still think of Holly Hunter in Always. I think she was wonderful in that film.
Oh.
She doesn't do enough.
No, I agree.
Acting.
I like her a lot. She had some TV show briefly that was pretty good, but didn't get a lot of ratings, and I kind of hoped would stick around. But yeah, I like her a lot. There's nothing wrong with Holly Hunter. Although I really don't need to see her and Harvey Keitel naked ever again from the piano. Did you ever see that from the piano?
I think I just watched it for the penis scene.
Dude, Keitel's wiener is a frightening piece of business. It's horrible, horrifying thing.
I think so. I swear, do not cap that.
No, don't cap that. He probably will anyway, because that's what he does.
How about a booby?
There you go. All right, number three. What's big number three? Take us home.
This is not on Amazon Prime, but it is on Netflix. It's your quintessential serial killer, your serial killer next door, Dexter.
Oh, yeah. Love that show. I loved it till the end.
Okay, so seasons, let's see. It looks like all seasons 1 through 8. Were there only 8 seasons?
There were only 6, right?
No, according to Netflix, there's 8 seasons.
Yeah, but Netflix thinks there were 20 Futurama seasons. Those guys are smoking crack. Oh.
Season 8, yeah, it has 2013 on
season 8. Was it 8 seasons? Eight. Okay.
Yeah, all 8 seasons are streaming on Netflix. I will say that I've been meaning to go back to this. I got caught up. We plowed through 1 and 2, and I think it was season 3 was when we kind of stumbled.
Off.
Yeah. Yeah,
4 is amazing.
I hear 4 is amazing. Like, we really just have to plow through 3 to get to 4.
5, I remember being underwhelmed by, and I've not seen 7 or 8, although I've seen chunks of 8, and I hear 8 is terrible. So, or at least the way it ends.
Yeah. I'm trying not to, I know it ended, and I know a lot of people, so I just kind of been putting on my earphones and not my earplugs, I guess.
Yeah.
Instead of earphones.
Yeah.
And try not to listen.
Yeah.
Because, I want to make my own decision.
Of course you do. Yeah. Don't let all that. You should watch it. And let's see. In fact, if anything, I mean, everybody wants to. It's hard to be Dexter during the run of Breaking Bad. How do you compete? How do you even compare? Because you were kind of the Breaking Bad before Breaking Bad.
Sure.
You were the thing everybody was like, oh, this is really breaking all the boundaries. This is blah, blah, blah. And then Breaking Bad comes along and makes everybody look like shite at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to kind of catch up to that. I don't know how you do it. So I will give them the benefit of the doubt and actually watch it myself at some point.
Like if Dexter had happened, like, I don't know, 3 years before or maybe after.
Yeah.
So we didn't have to compare it.
Would have been much better. But there you go, man. Recommended anyway. Yeah. Dexter on streaming. Go check it out. Cole, anything else in your life? Any links we should send people to? Anything going
actually,
on?
Actually, I do have a bit of news and a TMS exclusive.
Whoa. Beep, 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 beep. Hold on. Do I have a theme for that? Hold on. I got one right here. Here you go. Go.
I'm starting a new podcast.
No way. What is it called?
It's recording today. It should be up. I got to get everything in place. And the wonderful woman, lady, mother who is joining me is Cleo.
Oh.
And we are kicking off Nerd Parents.
Oh, Nerd Parents.
Nerd Parents. Nerdparents.com. Don't go there just yet if you're listening live because the site's not up yet.
So.
But we are doing our first kind of beta test episode today.
That's great.
It will be a round table of nerdy parents coming together. The inspiration of it, and Scott, you know this, you did the artwork for it. When I was pregnant, I listened to a podcast of pregnant ladies and it was just very comforting. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to create a very similar space for nerdy, geeky parents. And I talked about it 2 years ago at Nerdtacular, and I'm finally getting off my butt.
I was going to say,
this
is not the first time Nicole's talked about it, but I'm so glad to hear it's happening. That's awesome.
So we're doing it today. It's happening. We also have, I've been talking with Samantha Jane. So it's going to be a panel. So I'm going to have a bunch of parents involved in this. Hopefully you and Brian as well, mm-hmm. coming onto the show and, sure. and just talking about parenting in a positive, non-judgy environment.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. That sounds awesome to me. That's very cool. So we'll give it, what's the name one more time so people remember?
Nerdparents.com.
Nerdparents is a great URL.
Yeah. I'll have the site up. It's up right now, but it's just, there's nothing on it. So.
Right.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
It's going to be fun. I'm sticking it to myself to do it.
Holy smokes.
Holy smokes.
That's an amazing announcement. TMS exclusive, everybody. Nicole, have a fantastic day.
Thanks, guys.
I know. Oh, Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Don't forget that. All right, we're going to call Tom because I know he is tight on time. We want to give him a chance to be all he can be. Here's this. Oh, let's see if we get cut off.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Tom Merritt. A Tom Merritt. Hello, Tom.
Hello.
How are you?
I am A Tom Merritt, like you are with A Brian.
Tom. Yes, indeed. It's good to have you on, man. Congratulations on a successful current geek launch, by the way.
Hey, congratulations to you on a successful current geek launch as well.
Yeah.
I'm glad people liked it.
Yeah, I am too.
It's a lot of fun to do.
Can't remember the last time we had a show that launched and ended up in the iTunes top 25 in the first week. That's just insane. And the downloads are better than any show's first week performance ever. So I don't know what we did, and we've gotten all this great praise, and I'm super thrilled about it. So congrats all around to you and me and everybody involved. That was a really, really good time.
We could be a pat ourselves on the back.
So, Tom, it's a crazy week, and I know you've got to get somewhere, so I want to give you as much time as we can to hit whatever you think is the hot-button thing today. But Tom's also doing a new tech show daily every day that is really, really good, and you guys should be watching it / listening to it. And I have to imagine that this week during CES is bona fide crazy time for you as far as stories go.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was because I'm doing the show at 1:30 Pacific time in the afternoon, which is a totally different schedule than when I was doing Tech News Today, which still is at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
And so I've been thinking, oh, man, I'm just really off my game, out of my routine. I always feel like I'm behind. And then it hit me like, oh, right. There's also like five times as much news being generated right now because of CES. It won't always be like this. But you're right. It's been a little ridiculous. It's been a little crazy. Although one of the biggest stories we talked about on yesterday's Daily Tech News Show hasn't been really CES related. It was about AT&T and their new spending plan.
Oh.
We could talk a little more about that. I talked about that with John Brodkin yesterday quite a bit. He did a good article about it for Ars Technica. Mm-hmm. Or we could talk about the Sony TV streaming thing. Or we could even talk about Jelly.
Jelly. Shite. I was all for both of those two first stories, but now that you've said Jelly, I kind of think I want to know what that is.
Or Biz's Jelly.
Oh, right. This is the, Biz
it's
the Stone.
It's a question and answer app, yeah.
It's the Biz Stone dude from Twitter founder, co-founder. It's his new social thing. What is it? What do you do?
You ask questions, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, here's the thing, and this is the brilliance of Biz Stone, because I was a huge fan of Odeo, by the way.
Yeah, that was their big podcasting deal before Twitter made them throw it away.
And that's where Biz and Ev and all those guys kind of got together and formed Twitter, was while they were doing Odeo. Mm-hmm. And then Medium hasn't really taken off like Twitter has, but it's been very successful in its area. Mm-hmm. I see Medium links all the time being passed around. But now Biz is on to Jelly. And I think, Q&A. All right, sure. There's a need for it, because if you try to ask a question on the internet, you might find a good answer in the forums if you poke around. You usually can, but you're also going to run into a bunch of crap out there. Mm-hmm. Things like Yahoo Answers, ugh, which I believe, I may be wrong, but I believe actually removes knowledge from your brain.
I think I agree. You go there and you get negative answers to what you thought you needed, right, and they're all bad.
You're dumber.
Yeah. Like, how do I know if I have a brain tumor? And the answers are things like, turn the water off in the morning. Like, this, there's no connection to anything.
Or like, don't worry about it. You're probably just overreacting. Really? That's not an answer.
No, it's not an answer.
Okay, so the way
Yahoo
Jelly works, it's an app that you can get for Android or iOS. Yeah. And it connects to your Twitter and Facebook friends and then friends of friends.
Uh-oh.
And then I think it might even go one more circle out. I'm not sure about
that. That sounds exponential to me. Is it?
But it is. Yes, it is exponential. They tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. So that you get a nice big pool of people, but they're somewhat trusted. Right? And you're just trusting them enough to like answer your question with better answers than stop worrying about it or run the water. you want somebody to actually, you know, make a fair attempt to answer your question. And I tried it not thinking I was going to care.
Sure.
It's kind of addictive.
Is it?
Really?
It's the way they design the app. Mm. So you swipe cards out as you're looking through the questions. And I haven't actually tried asking a question yet. I got to do that still. Mm. But when you start going, it gets addictive because you're like, oh, that's an interesting question. Well, how did people answer that? And you click and look at the answers. And then that's a funny question. And then, oh, I actually know the answer to that. Do-do-do-do-do-do, right?
Yeah.
And suddenly you've spent 20 minutes just sitting there messing around on Jelly. And you've actually probably helped a couple people as well as gotten some answers to questions maybe you didn't even think you had.
Well, what seems like the power of this, or the power of Biz Stone and these other guys doing offshoot projects or new projects, is they are harnessing the existing social networks. I don't know that. So everyone always talks about who's going to be the next Facebook killer or Twitter killer. I think we're done with that. Those days are gone where you're going to have a whole bunch of fledgling ones all vying to take over one another. I think what it is now is, which new thing is compelling and interesting in its own way, but piggybacks as hard as it can on your existing network so that people aren't having to switch to something. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is not you switching to something new. This is essentially a plug-in for Twitter in a way.
That's one of the ways that I think it's brilliant, is it's not trying to create a new social network. It's saying, you've got your network. Let's make a new way of using it. And there's a little bit of irony there if you think about how Twitter has locked down developers from plugging into its network. And this is taking the part that isn't locked down still, the friends list, and saying, great, we're gonna ride on top of that. Of course, yeah, you could post answers to Twitter and all that stuff.
He also runs the risk of preferential treatment, doesn't he? I mean, if Biz Stone suddenly has greater access to Twitter than others have gotten.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't think there's any question of that. I guess the perception could be there, though. You're
sure.
Right.
Well, that's interesting. I'm going to try it out. I haven't actually tried it yet. I've been hearing about it, going, oh, another social thing. But the way you've described it,
it sounds exactly how I felt until I finally dived in. And then I literally think I spent 20 minutes without realizing it. Just like, well, that's interesting. Oh, that's cool. Oh, wow. Look at that.
You know what would have been nice? And this is a little sad side note. But if those guys had a chance to go as far as they possibly could with what Odeo was trying to do, how much different the podcasting landscape might look today. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, sure.
I mean, it has to be adopted and people have to go for it and all that other stuff. But I sometimes look back at some of these projects that were poised to just really crank things up for podcasting and for this kind of new media stuff, and then to see them go by the wayside, it just makes me a little bit sad. And of course, Twitter, you know, is such a behemoth. Of course, they're going to dump that, and that's not going to go on or whatever. But still, a little piece of me died inside, you know?
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. And having just launched three shows this month, it is a much different world getting people to subscribe to your show than it was in the Odeo days, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Because people don't think of podcasting as, I go to a website, subscribe, and listen in iTunes as much. Some people do.
Yeah.
Obviously, lots of people do.
Right.
But there's all these people like, your podcast isn't showing up. And then you're like, well, where is it not showing up? You can go to my website and get it. Well, I don't want to get it from your website. I want to get it from my app. Well, which app are you using?
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, well, you know, you can manually add a, what? I can do what? I search for it and it's not there yet. Yeah. You know, it's a whole different world. It's weird.
I find it it keeps me up at night. Like literally I'll think about this a lot because there is no standard now. And it's not that there needs to be a standard per se, but there's no cohesive,
right.
Like we want to call it podcasting. Or whatever. I don't care what the word is, but now we don't. It's no longer just, oh, that's the thing you get on your iPod, right? It's not like that anymore. It's a thing you can get on everything, but everything does it differently. No one's got one way or another way of doing it. So common, regular old people that are just like, hey, I want to take advantage of new audio content. They're like, what the hell's a Stitcher? And where do I download an RSS feed? Well, and
that's the thing. There is a standard. It's RSS. And it is easier than ever for someone to get into podcasting because they just do Pocket Casts and all of a sudden they're getting all these great things that they can search for. But the side effect of the app ecosystem is being felt where previously just a little knowledge meant that you could do anything with everything. And you still can.
Yeah.
But people in apps don't realize that because they're in their little tower. I don't know if it's an ivory tower, but they're in their little contained ecosystem, right? And they unless they know to go venture out on their own, they don't understand that there's a world outside of that app that they can do whatever they want in.
Right. Yeah, it's an odd side effect, but
and it's not just a problem for podcasting. That's the side effect of doing things the app way is we lose that openness and interconnectedness that the web brought us.
Yeah, or why is that video not on YouTube? Oh, cuz it's on Vimeo because it has content restrictions. Oh, well, why is it over there? I don't know. Daily Motion has it today.
Well, it gets even worse with apps, right? Cuz you don't think about it as over there on the you're no longer on the web. You're in the app.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't happen in the app, well, I must need another app for that.
Yeah.
Where do I get the other app?
Yeah.
It's right?
It's
not
weird.
Just like, oh, I'll link from here and go because I'm in my browser the whole time.
Yeah,
totally changes the way people think about it. And a lot of new users are learning the internet through apps. And I don't like that.
I don't like it either. I feel like I'm old manning on this one, but I don't like it.
I'm totally old manning. right there with my cane right next to
me. We're digging in, man. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter. Tell people how to get to the Daily Tech Show because it's rad and people should be watching.
Hey, thanks. Now, I don't want to raise people's expectations too much because it's not in its final form yet, but dailytechnewsshow.com is where you go and you can subscribe to the audio podcast there. There's a subscribe link that you can click and then add
it
to your
app.
Wait,
what app do I, what?
Okay. Yeah. Dailytechnewsshow.com. And then if you really want to watch live, I've been able to do a Google Hangout every time so far. I haven't promised that I always will be able to do that. But if you go to your Google Plus feed or if you keep an eye on youtube.com/acedetect/live, you'll be able to see when I go live, which will usually be about 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern.
Awesome. Check it out. As always, Current Geek this week. We'll have another episode on Friday, 4 o'clock my time, 3 o'clock Tom's time. So be here.
Who we got
that.
Coming on this week?
This week we have Patrick Beja from France. It'll be 11 p.m. for him. Gotcha. And we will have our second guest, who will be Brian Ibbett, assuming he is feeling better and not yakking on his microphone. So hopefully that all
will
works
Dunaway
out.
Be able to fill in for him too?
Yeah, Brian, be on the ready,
I'll
man.
Do whatever,
just in case.
Hey, Dunaway was on Corn Killers this week, by the way.
Oh,
if you haven't checked that episode out, he kicked ass.
Oh, I had no idea.
We had a fantastic time on Corn Killers.
Yeah, Corn Killers is great. I had no idea. I need to catch up. That's fantastic. Good job.
Episode
on that.
One.
Nice.
Yeah, premiere episode featuring Brian Dunaway.
Way to go, everybody. Tom Merritt, take it easy, and thanks a lot, man. Go get your car.
All right. Thanks, Matt.
See ya. He had to go get his car.
That was a lot of fun. Cord Killers. Brian Brushwood, Tom Merritt.
Yeah.
A lot of fun. Good. Talked about killing all the cords.
Killing the cords, man. I killed mine ruthlessly years ago now.
Yeah, me too, man. I'm over the air and Hulu Plusin' and Netflix. And
got my Google Chrome. I got my Aereo. I mean, at some point you start to worry if you have enough subscriptions, you're paying what you paid for cable in the first place.
Right,
but I'm
right.
not there yet, and even if I was, I still feel like I get a better variety than I would with cable. And it's only again, it's only things I want to pay for, not things that are just there. Like I don't need Telemundo or freaking ESPN Ocho.
You sure?
I guess what I'm saying is I don't like all the Spanish channels. I guess that's
right. It's pretty much what it is. And I stopped buying movies for a long time as far as physical copies, but I started picking Blu-rays up again as long as they have the Vudu or Ultraviolet. Copy so I can
you like my, that I, now is that a good yeah. People are into that, that's the thing.
Well, they encourage you to share it with your family, so that's what I've done. Mom has a Roku box. I set up the login for her. So she just hops on. I watch a new movie and then she can watch it. And if I decide that I have a movie in my collection already that I want to add, a lot of them are supported for like the ultraviolet Blu-rays. Yeah. I can just pay $2. And if it's not an ultraviolet Blu-ray, but it's just a regular Blu-ray, I pay $2 and I have access to it on my Vudu account. So
I'd argue that's a pretty good deal.
That's a dang good deal.
Yeah, it's not bad. We're going to try to call Kim and get a little geek food action in here, and then we're going to close this thing out, get Brian back to his work day.
Geek food.
Yeah. I don't know if she knows I'm even calling her, so this might be kind of fun. Calling her on the phone this time instead of Skype.
I ate pancakes this morning.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love that.
Blueberry pancakes.
I'm jelly.
Right?
I'm the new social network jelly.
I downloaded that jelly app. I'm gonna try it later.
Yeah, I'm gonna give it a shot. I guess she's not there. All right, no geek food today then.
No geek food.
That's all right. She's probably at an appointment or something. Who knows? I don't know what's going on. I don't know what happens in my house.
I had a low-fat blueberry muffin mix and we made pancakes out of it. It was delicious.
I'm trying to cut that crap out of my life, but there's going to be times where I'm going to have a blueberry pancake. There's nothing anybody can say or do about it.
As long as you have that's what people usually do. They eat like three or four pancakes all stacked because they want a pancake stack.
Yeah.
And so I don't do that. I just eat this single pancake, which is blasphemy.
It is.
Among pancake eaters, but true story.
You are if you're anything in this life, you are an example of reservation and self-control.
Yes.
So thanks for being that example to us.
Thank you.
Got emails here from Andreas in Belgium, who wrote in, says, Dear Iron Sheik and Daniel Bryan.
I
don't know what that part is. I'm a huge wrestling fan. Just wanted to say thank you guys. And I think you really nailed the wrestling and what wrestling is all about. As for watching it, I like to compare The Rock making his entrance to Goku going Super Saiyan or Saiyan or however you say it. The thing is, I can't stand that cartoon. You know the one, right?
Yeah.
What's it called? What's the name of the cartoon?
The Super Saiyan show, Goku.
With the, they're flying across the sky, and I can't think of names right now. Anyway, I just had it and it went away. You just forget how absurd it all looks and get pumped for a larger-than-life character to kick some butt. I love to watch it, but at the same time, I feel really bad for the killer schedule imposed on those wrestlers. A more season-based approach would be a big improvement, in my opinion, but I guess it would mean less dollars for Mr. McMahon. I assume he means that.
So now we've gotten to the point that we're coddling our wrestlers.
Yeah.
Telling them they should not work but X number of days a week.
Well, we were talking yesterday about how they all die early because they're so beat up all the time.
Generally, they don't live the healthiest lifestyles. I mean, most of them are usually larger people, and larger people don't have a long lifespan. Mm-hmm. And when I say larger, I mean tall.
Yeah, you don't mean like a fat guy.
No, like a fat guy, but some of them are fat.
Yeah, we have some dude from, somebody made a comment, Terpster made a comment on last week's Current Geek, and we got some guy all up in arms because Terpster made fun of fat people. So
really?
Yeah, he's unsubscribing because of it.
I'm not listening anymore.
I can't listen to this. You made fun of fat people. Let's see. James wrote in, says, hey, Scott and Ibbot's proxy. Oh, by the way, Andreas ended his email by saying, love the show, though, brother.
Okay. Oh, thank you.
That's pretty good. Hey, Scott and Brian's proxy. Oh, that's you. Oh, that's funny. They put that in there. He said, I couldn't just sit by and allow you to sully the good name of most of the Christian bands that have gone mainstream. I don't think we sullied them. This is the Monday show. There are plenty of good Christian bands. What are you talking about? Although some of the members may be, Creed made it a point to say that they weren't a Christian band. They say that, but they kind of had their start there. And I don't like Creed not because they're Christian or have their roots there. I don't like Creed because they're Creed. They just kind of suck.
I think Creed's okay. I'm not anti-Creed or pro Creed. I'm just Creed.
I'm pro Apollo Creed. Like he was
Creed
cool.
is on.
They'd be in the same category as U2 or Mumford and Sons in that regard. Oh, it pains me to even say that. Reliant K on the other hand would certainly be considered a Christian band. Others like them would be Switchfoot. That's who I was trying to think of the other day. Switchfoot.
Yeah, Switchfoot's big right now.
Shovel, Skillet, and Jars of Clay. I don't really know Shovel or Skillet. Or Chevelle, is it? Chevelle? It's probably Chevelle.
No. Skillet, I've heard plenty. But Chevelle's not a Christian band.
Is it Chevelle? Is it Shovel?
Is it spelled like the car? Chevelle?
Chevelle? C-H-E-V.
I don't think. Is that a Christian band? I don't think so.
He says it is. Who knows? Jars of Clay, I've heard of, but I didn't know they were Christian. Anyway.
Right.
Can't good music just be good music and bad music bad? Most music is just at its core spiritual in one way or the other anyway, even the most hedonistic. Hug a hobo, says James. Well, James, I agree with you 100%. And I really like, in two cases here, I really like Switchfoot a lot and I like Reliant K a lot. I don't have a single bad thing to say about them being Christian bands. That wasn't my problem. My problem is Creed sucks. It just boiled down to Creed sucking.
I don't have a Christian band problem. I have a Creed problem.
They're not the Creed we want. They're the Creed we need. All right, that's it. If you guys want to send your emails to us, you can. Alpha or I can't even read. themorningstream@gmail.com. Please send them. Brian Dunaway, thank you for sitting in today.
Scott Johnson, thank you so much for having me on today.
Far too kind to be able to do that. Chat room, or some folks may have noticed that the audio stream is now working. I guess they fixed it while we were running on the air. I just had it refreshing the entire time, and it finally worked. Sorry about the other weird buzzing. I'll fix that today. I don't know what's going on. People at home, you're not even noticing this, so enjoy the fact that nothing went wrong for you.
Enjoy your buzz-free morning.
Indeed. Brian, anything you would like to tell people about before we go?
Sure. I think you should tune in to the Final Score this weekend. Yeah. We've been moving around a little bit. We usually do Friday nights, but we've had a couple of Saturday afternoon delights.
Yeah, I think that time works pretty well. I meant to ask Nicole while she was on, but I think it works pretty well. I think we'll do that again this week if you're cool with it.
Absolutely. Yes, that's around Saturday, around 1 o'clock Eastern time. Mm-hmm. And what time is that? Over
That's 2 hours. 11.
11
a.m., so it's morning for me. And Nicole will be 10, I guess. Absolutely. No, she's 11 right now. Never mind. She's same as me.
She is. So if just during the week you can't make it to the morning stream chat room, check us out on the weekend, and we give away games on that show. And
yep. A lot to talk about, these new Steam machines, a bunch of CES stuff with Sony and everybody else. Right. So be there or be square. And Brian, you can find him on Twitter at TheBrianDunaway.
That's me.
And he's got a lot of other stuff going on. Congrats again on the FilmSack win. Nice job.
Oh, congrats to you too.
Thanks, man. If you want to visit the website for us, you can frogpants.com/TMS on Facebook /TheMorningStream. Email us themorningstream@gmail.com and on Twitter, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, Coverville, and the visiting the Brian Dunaway.
Dunaway.
Brian Dennehy, right? Brian Dennehy?
That's me.
That's the one. I liked you in Silverado a lot.
Right.
That's it. Let's play a song. I'm going to play a song. Another favorite of mine. We played this on the show before, but I like it so much I'm going to do it again. Or maybe we haven't. I don't know if we have or not. But I like bluegrass, and I like bluegrass covers. So today's kind of a theme. I'm not doing it because Brian's from South Carolina. I swear. I'm not doing that. I promise I had these picked out before he came on.
So it's always the bluegrass for me.
Yep. Every time, country bumpkin music for when Brian's on. And so here it is. I'm going to play Ain't Talking About Love from The Iron Horse. They're the performers. The album is Strummin' with the Devil. This is a bluegrass cover album that is essentially a remake of Running with the Devil. Not Running with the Devil, but a bunch of songs from Van Halen. Not just their original albums or anything like that. Like a bunch of them. It's called Strummin' with the Devil. This is Ain't Talking About Love. You know the one.
I know the one.
And I'm going to play it for you right now because...
When do we eat?
When do we eat is a good question. I got to go eat.
Get better, Ibbit.
Yeah, get better, Ibbit. We hope you feel better, man. Hopefully see you tomorrow. One way or the other, we'll see you guys tomorrow for a brand new episode of The Morning Stream. We'll see you then.
Something you need. Ain't talking about love. My love is rotten to the core. Ain't talking about love. Just like I told you before. You know you're semi good looking and on the streets again. Oh yeah, you think you're really cooking, baby. You better find yourself a friend. Ain't talking about love. My love is rotten to the core. Ain't talking about love.
just like I told you before. Baby, it's rotten to the core. I ain't talking about love, just like I told you before. I've been to the edge, and there I stood and looked down. You know I lost a lot of friends there, baby. I got no time to mess around. So if you want it, got to bleed for it, baby. Got to bleed, baby. You got to bleed, baby. Got to bleed, baby. Ain't talking about love. My love is rotten to the core. Ain't talking about love. Just like I told you before. Ain't talking about love. Talk about love.
Don't wanna talk about love.
Don't need to talk about love.
Don't need to talk about love.
Ain't gonna talk about love.
Ain't gonna talk about love.
You'll break your arm.